Okay, so now we're starting the big topic over here, Lamed, Gimel, Lamed, Aleph. It's funny, I saw it make it a little simpler. Uriminu. Okay, so what's the Uriminu on, like we started yesterday? The Mishnah over here says that Dine Mamanis can be changed. Bein l'schus, bein l'chova. But the Mishnah in Bechoro says, Donas adin, ziko es achayev, chayev es azakai, timi es ator, tihar es atome, masha asa asli, vishalimi beso. Okay, so what does it mean? So what's the kasha? Masha asa asli is the kasha. Alma lo hadar. All right. Take a look at the Mishnah in Bechoro. Oh, you'll get to it when we'll get to it. So we got the you should take a look at it. It's two Mishnayos and one after the other. So like we mentioned yesterday, up till now we've just been dealing with din, right? Din in the case of a fight between two people, who owes who money. But the Mishnah includes timei asator and tihar asatome. That he said something that's tahor is tameh, and he said something that's tameh is tahor. And over there it also says masha asa asli. So it's strange. That seems strange to us. I understand you want to tell me two people come with a din, and they're arguing, does he owe me money or not? And the dayan paskins, and he gives a psak din. So then you go say, okay, they left the din, masha asa asli. But I come to you personally with my food, and I ask you, is it tameh? And you tell me it's tameh. Well, what does it mean, masha asa? You can't undo that. You can't say, can't call him back up. I mean, I'd be in trouble if that was the din. You can't call a guy back up and say, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. He'll say, too bad. You said it was tahar. I'm eating it. You told me it's kosher. I'm eating it. Too bad on you. What kind of crazy thing is that? What do you mean, masha asa? I understand. You know, Chaim will say, I'm not giving Gil back his $100 because you told me it's mine. But what do you mean, Masha Asase, by Tamei and Tar, Isser and Heter, those kinds of things? Yeah. Okay, so let's take a quick look at this puzzle here. He says, Vim Tomar, Tier Asa Tamei, Amai, Masha Asa Asase. So that's basically the question. Why? Why can't you just say it's come back and say it's tame? I mean, that certainly is hard. Tihar es atame is very difficult to say masha asa asli. What does that even mean? It's really tame, and the guy said it's tar, and that's it. It's too bad. What does that even mean? It's masha asa asli, right? The oh I masha asa asli amay mishalim. Yeah. Why should he have to pay? Even if he can tell me it's done, why should he have to pay? Akati lo mesukma de irvon in peirosav ad lebesof. Okay, this is a little bit complicated. But the Gemara at the end of this whole sugi, at the end of the sugi, the Gemara says, what's the case of timei es atahar? It means he took the guy's stuff, the dayan took the guy's stuff, and he actually put it in with more tamei stuff. Okay? So then, okay, then I understand why he should have to pay. But over here, well, he didn't do anything. He just gave his opinion. He just said, I think it's tummy. Yesh lomer, dahash to sphere lon kishi irvan bala bias. Ulubisof, soverle kishi irvan chocham. Bahashta masha asa asoi. She irvan berov peirosav tehorim. Debatli beruba. Vyeshali mi beso. She'irvon bepeiros mu'atim. In other words, I'm sorry. Let me clarify the second question. You understand the second question? I didn't express it properly. What's his va'od I masha asa asa yamai mishalim? Yeah. In other words, if the guy said that the tamei is tahar, what is he paying for? What is he paying for? What's the loss? Right. If the guy didn't do anything with it yet, what's the loss? It's tummy. In reality, it's tummy. So it's not worth anything to him. So I told you it's worth something. So what? I gave you hope, and now I took it away? I mean... So that's what he says. He says like this. How does it go? It goes like this. The case the Gemara is assuming is like Chaim is saying, that something happened already. Doesn't mean Masha Asa Asay, that just because the guy said it's Tomei or Tohor, it's fixed and it can't be undone. That doesn't make any sense. We're talking about a case where the guy comes to me with something that is Tomei, in reality. I tell him it's Tohor, and he goes ahead and mixes it. He mixes it with stuff. Okay?
He mixes the fruit.
That's right.
His kosher fruit with his
tohor. That's right. But Tomei and Tohor, so the Tomei can actually be Metame other things too. So he said like this. Well, actually, right. So he said like this. Vahashta, what does it mean? Masha asa asoi? It means she'irvan berov peirosov tehorim. Debatli beruba. So that doesn't really... Masha asa asoi means what? It's batal berov in the tehorim. Well, if I said it's tahar, when it was really tamei, but then the guy, in fact, mixed it in with other stuff that's tahar. So then what he did, he did. What he did. Masha asa asoi. That's it. It's all tar. Good for him. And what does it mean, v'yashalim mi beso? That's a different case. That's if he mixed it in with peros mu'atim. So now the rove is the tahar, the tame. So now the dayan actually caused him to be matame more of his peros. So then he would have to pay for it. Okay. It's a little bit complicated, but the point is that by Tomei and Tohar, it's not the same thing like a regular, like a case of two people arguing over monetary rights. There's no such thing that just Masha Asa Asay, because a guy paskined one way, that it should be fixed that way. And certainly if it's really Asar and he says it's Kasher, it can't be Masha Asa Asay. What does it mean? So Tos is explaining, this is talking about a case, like Chaim was saying, where the guy did something based on the psak and it caused him a loss or something. Right? But otherwise, of course, the guy can correct his mistake. All right, let's go a little further. So anyway, so that's the Gemara's question. How come the Mishnah says, Chozer, Machzir, and Asadin, Bein Lizuchus, Bein Lechov, and yet this Mishnah in Bechorah says, Masha Asa Asa Vishalami Beso. Okay. So you have three answers over here. Om Rav Yosef, Lo Kasha. Kan B'mumcha, Kan B'she'ina Mumcha. Let's see if we can define this, okay? So Rashi says, Mumcha has a koach lachzor. He has the strength to retract his statement, his original psak. V'lo motzi l'meimar le bal din ona ki taima kama didoch avdina. The bal din, who is going to be on the losing end now, can't say, I want to go like your first answer. Ova b'she'eno mumcha motzi omar le miyemar de taima basar didoch igar. But if the guy himself is not a mumcha, so then the guy who, the Baal Din, who's going to be losing now, the one who won in the first case, and now he's going to turn out to be the loser, he can say, who says your second answer is better than your first answer? Right? Maybe your first answer is right. And maybe you're making a mistake now. Right? Okay. All right, so what's this idea here? According to Rav Yosef, what does it mean to be machzir adin? What does it require for the din to be chozer? But the guy was good enough for the first din, right? So why can't he just give the second? Why can't he just be chozer the way he gave his first psak?
Well, because then
what does it mean? What does Rashi mean when he implies that this guy can say? The Baal Din can say, who says your second answer is better than your first answer? The Dayan is saying, not the Baal Din gets to say. What is the case is a good question. Okay, what is the case is a good question. If you're going to learn that he's not a mumcha, right, then it would have to be, according to what we were saying the other day, that they accepted him. right? But let's leave that facet out for right now. Because what exactly this mumcha means, Tosus says this mumcha means a guy who has smicha, not just a regular mumcha anyway. But I don't think you're right about that, Chaim. I think it's a regular case. Two guys come, they say, let's give us din. We want din from you. And the guy makes a mistake and he awards Shimon the money, and then he comes back and he says, no, Shimon doesn't deserve the money, give it back to Levi. And Shimon says, I liked your first answer. Personally, I liked your first answer better. So I'm not going to listen to you. What do you mean not going to listen to me? It's my din. I'm the dayan. Just wield it on your own. So let me give you an approach over here to this question. As you got to find, what you're saying is good. They're all good reasons. But we're looking for a halachic definition over here. I'll show you what I mean. What I mean to say is like this. How do we differentiate the cases halachically speaking? In other words, halachically speaking, how do we differentiate his first decision and his being chozer? You tell me. What's the difference? What's the main halachic difference between when he renders his first decision and when he tries to be chozer? Exactly. In other words, in the first case, there was a question that was open. There was a controversy, as they say in the law, right? There was a controversy. There was an issue, unresolved. And they approached him for the resolution, and he provided a resolution. That settled something. You understand? There's no more open issue. To be chozer means he has to start anew on his own and approach the settled issue and overturn it and undo what was done. So for that, you need something greater than the initial decision. That's what Rabbi Yosef is saying. We have to be able to say, what does it mean the Baal Din will say, I don't want any? It means say the Baal Din will say this case is settled already. We don't have any more case. Right? You can't force me to reopen the case. Case was settled once. Right? And since you're just a hedgeot, you can't tell me that your second opinion is superior to your first. So this case was settled, and there's nothing that is superior to overturn the prior decision. But if the person is a mumche, then what? Interesting. If he's a mumche, then what? He can say, what does Rashi say? He has koach lachzor. Yeah, and the Baal Din can't say, I like your first answer. Yeah. Right. In other words, the mumcha can evaluate himself and recognize when he deviated from the proper din. The hedgeo doesn't know what proper din is. Right? He doesn't know what proper din is. He's not an expert in an area. So the hedgeo just has his, what they call like a boyach svar. You know what I mean? Like from his stomach. Doesn't come from his head, comes from his stomach. So, okay, he feels this way today, he feels that way tomorrow. On the one hand, but on the other hand, you know, it just depends when he decides to stop that game. So, but there's no superiority, there's no self-analysis that he can say, I missed this point. So there's no greater quality in the second answer, it's just the second answer. It's not an elevated answer. But the mumcha, we say, he could go deeper and he can look at himself, he can examine himself, he has the tools to know what the proper method is and what a mistake is. So he's a gavra who can evaluate a mistake. The eino mumcha is not a guy who can evaluate a mistake either. But a mumcha is in the position he can evaluate a mistake. So he can render, he has the koach of his chachma to be able to render his first one as a toss. Okay, now you'll see how this approach continues. So then the Gemara says, how could you say that it's a mumcha I'm sorry. How could you say that a mumcha can change his psak? The seifa of the Mishnah is a mumcha, and it says he's pater milashalim. But pater milashalim means he can't change his psak. But even though he can't change his psak, he's pater. Right? That's the way the Rashi is interpreting the Gemara. Now, what does it mean, pater milashalim, Rashi, alma, mashasa, asli? What's the difference between? There's only one difference between the mumcha and in the seifa and the eno and the hedjah and the resha. What's the difference? Pater milashalim. But mashasa asli is true in both cases. All it says in the Mishnah is donas adin mashasa asli vishalim ibeisa v'im haya mumcha l'rabim lebeistin pater milashalim. Pater milashalim means that's the only difference. So in both mashasa asli. The only difference is the mumcha doesn't have to pay. But you just told me the mumcha is capable of overturning his own decision. But you see, the seifa says otherwise. So that's what Rav Yosef says, lo kasha. I'm sorry, Rav Nachman says, lo kasha. Well, he doesn't say lo kasha. Om Rav Nachman, kan sheyesh gadol heimenu b'chochma b'minyan, kan she'ein gadol heimenu b'chochma b'minyan. Most Rishonim, I saw the Tosfos at Rosh, he says that Rav Nachman is coming and sort of fixing up Rav Yosef's answer. Not arguing with him. He's agreeing that they're both cases of mumcha, right? But yesh gadol heimenu, oso gadol. Now, what do you say over here? Machzir devarav shel zeh? Or machzik devarav shel zeh? Yesh bo koach levatel. You see that someone changed. I think it's the Marshal. What's the pshat? You just tell me the pshat. I'm not really 100% sure on the pshat. What does it mean there is a guddle or there isn't a guddle? Well, what is the guddle doing?
I always thought it was like a.
Is the guddle the one who's overturning the base?
That's right. It was some sort of appeal that was.
He's saying that though. Yeah. As if you're going to say, it depends on how you learn the pshat. What's the difference between oso guddle machzir or oso guddle machzik? Pshat wise,
machzik would more like strengthen what was said before.
That's right. And what would have been said before?
Oh, okay, fine.
Right. Now, is it going to learn oso gadol machzik devarav shel zeh diyesh bo koach levatel? It means to say that the mumcha, in both cases, the mumcha rendered a din, and he said I'm wrong. But if there's a gadol mimenu, then that gadol can be machzik his second retraction. Can be machzik his retraction. But it doesn't mean that it's going through an appeal process where the gadol is the one who's giving a new psak. If you say gadol is machzir devarav, then it means the gadol is actually overturning what the other guy said. Gadol machzik means that as long as there's a gadol above you and he doesn't endorses what you say, then you have the right to overturn your first decision. But either case, the bottom line is it's totally on someone who's superior to you, right? But if there's ein gadol mimenu, lo tzayas le bal din la duri uvda, vafilu ze omer ta'isi lav kol kamini. So what is Rav Nachman adding? That's not enough. He's in the same way of thinking as Rav Yosef. That you need something to overturn the original, that the original question was closed. Now you need to undermine the entire thing. The only question is, does it have to be, to undermine the original din itself, does it require someone that is above the, someone who is considered superior to the original din? In other words, is it enough? That's the question with Rav Yosef and Rav Nachman. Is it enough that the mumcha can render the maisa, his original maisa, as a ta'os? Or do you need someone to render the whole proceeding a ta'os? But the gavra can't render his own proceeding. He can't invalidate himself. Now, is it enough to invalidate the decision? Or do you have to overturn the lower judge? So then you'll need someone godly menu. You understand? Yeah. All right, so those are the two positions. That's Rav Nachman and Rav Yosef, according to Rashi. Okay? Now, I didn't give you this to prepare, but let's give it a try. Okay? Let's give it a shot. This is the way Rashi learns. So once again, what did Rav Yosef say? Rav Yosef said, Kan b'mumcha, kan b'she'ena mumcha. Who can overturn his decision? The mumcha. The Eina Mumcha can't overturn his decision. And then the Gemara questioned it based on the Seifa, that the Mumcha can't overturn his decision either. And then the Gemara says, no, you're right. It means, Rav Nachman says, what does it mean? When can the Mumcha overturn his decision? When there's a godly man of B'chachma. Does it mean? B'chachma B'minyan. Then they'll be Machzik his second, they can be Machzik his second din. But if there's no one greater than him, B'chachma B'minyan, then he can't exceed himself. You need something greater than the original din to overturn it. Right? Okay. Correct? Okay. And what did we say it's based on? We said it's based on the idea that the right to judge initially is based on the open controversy. But the ability to overturn means you have to approach something that's settled already and literally undermine it. Okay, which is a bigger... Well, you can't do that with an equal. You have to do that with a greater. Is it enough that the idea can be shown to be greater, or the whole process has to be a greater process? The dayan has to be greater. Okay. That's the way Rashi learns. But if you take a look at the riff... I think I once told you this klal, and it's it's a klal gadol. Okay, so at the bottom, after the Mishnah, so he says, so he quotes the stira, Omer of Yosef lo kasha kan b'mumcha kan b'she'ena mumcha. So we don't know what he's thinking, but then
the Mishnah,
no, in the riff.
Right. Part.
Yeah. V'chi ketani machzirin b'she'eino mumcha. And when can you be machzir is by an eino mumcha. So the Rif learns it the opposite way. That what does it mean, kan b'mumcha, kan b'she'eino mumcha? That if he's a mumcha, then he can't overturn his decision. And if he's an eino mumcha, he can. You see, the Rush is the one who... all the Rishonim quote the Rif this way. The Rush has it clear that that's the way the Rif is learning. That if he's a mumcha, then he can't overturn his decision. And if he's not a mumcha, then he can. And then he can... Then has he learned the rest? V'chi ketani machzi yimshalim v'had ketani masha asa yimshalim mibeso b'mumcha. Right? So that's how it works out. When it says machzirin, that's the eino mumcha. And when it says masha asa asoy, and he has to pay, that's the mumcha. The opposite of the way Rashi learned. But it says, and then it goes mi mashalim, but is it true? V'hakatani seifa imhay mumcha l'rabim or l'beistin potel mi l'shalim om rov nachman lo kasha. Kan b'sheish gadol mimenu b'chochma u'b'minyin. Kan b'she'ein gadol mimenu b'chochma u'b'minyin. Yeah, what's what? Yeah, the rush quotes the riff. And he says, Pirish, hadar mina mumcha m'shalem. I'm sorry, the other way. When does he pay? K'sheish gadol mimenu b'chochma u'b'minyin. Zuhi girsas rav al-fasa. Okay. So can we understand his approach at all? I mean, what's he saying? He's saying when the guy is a mumcha, then he can't overturn it. And when he's not a mumcha, he can. So what's his idea? Just a guess, even just a guess.
What, some sort of security.
Yeah. Well, no, he says the opposite way.
Because the hedgehog.
Why is it easier for the hedgehog to overturn?
Because he doesn't know. So when he comes on info, it's easier for him to change his mind.
Think about it, halachically speaking. What is the difference between, what does it take to overturn something? What if we're trying to understand when something can be overturned or can't be overturned? What do we need to look at?
Well, is the guy certified to judge?
No.
How much knowledge he has?
No. What do we need to look at, halachically speaking? What's a critical question? Is what's the status of the first decision? No, just basically speaking. The whole question is undoing a prior decision. So we need to analyze the prior decision. So in that sense, whose prior decision is easier to overturn?
The hedgehog.
The hedgehog. In other words, the riff seems to be learning that you can never overturn a solid decision. A truly settled issue can't be overturned. But it requires a mumche to truly settle the issue. The hedgehog is not a gavra of din. So only to the degree that what he says is correct is he really doing anything. In other words, maybe that's the way the riff is learning. We're just trying to work it out a little bit. In other words, the riff is saying, not like Rashi, that you can overturn a din. Say, no, that's not what it means. It means to say like this, that the hedgehog's din is really never fully settled because he's just functionally, his din, he only has a right and he only is involved as a dayan to the degree that he's in line with the truth. He's not a gavra of din. He's just functionally working it out. So if he functioned correctly, then he settled it. If he didn't, it still really remains open. It still really remains open. But the dayan who's a mumche, he's a gavra of din. His decision has a status of din, even if it's a mistake. And that's it. Once he gave a din and he made a proclamation, it's kavua as din. It might have been a mistaken din, but it's din. Once it has that shame din, it can't be undone.
Fixed. Because the way you were saying,
saying that the din of the hedgehog is not fixed. It's not fixed.
What does that mean? Not fixed. It's just not. But we're going to say that the din of the mumcha is fixed.
That's right, because he has a maisa of din.
We just call it din.
For who?
For the mumcha.
We do. We'll call it din.
So then that's what I'm saying. For the hedgehog, you call it not din.
Okay, that's why it's not fixed. Is what's this? In other words, Rashi's question is what's the status of the second one vis-a-vis the first one? That's Rashi's whole question. That the first one is done. Now you need a superior maisa in the second maisa to overturn the first one. But the first one is done, according to Rashi. That's kuli amalo pligi. No matter what, you go to a guy, he's a hedgehog, he's a mumcha, he renders a decision, the case is closed. Now you want to open it up again? You need something superior. So the hedgehog doesn't have anything superior. The mumcha does, and the guy who's gadol himenu b'chachma b'min certainly does. The Rif says that's not the question. The question is, what's the status of the initial decision to begin with? That's the only question. Anything that's settled can't be undone. But not everything is settled completely. If a guy was a mumche when he made a decision, so he's a judge. He stamped it with the official seal. And that is a judgment. Case closed. Now you can't reopen the case. But the hedgehog doesn't really have that ability to proclaim an absolute judgment.
Okay.
He is only he's a hedgehog. He can give his idea and what he thinks to be true, and to the degree that it's correct, we'll accept it. But to the degree that it's not correct, we can show that it wasn't really a maisa of judging at all. Now, as I would say like this, similar to what we were saying yesterday. that the maisa hachra, the decision and the din of the mumcha is objectively a decision is objectively a psak din because of the gavra. So even if he makes a mistake, it's a psak din, can't be overturned. But the din of the hedger is not objectively a din. It's only insofar as functionally it's good. So if he hit it right, then we'll say it's good. But if he made a mistake, then it's just a nothing. No, it's only, it has to be a maisa din coming either from the gavra or from the truth of the matter itself. The mumcha is a gavra. He's a gavra of din. His psak has the status of din. Even if it was a mistake. Now you want to change it? Well, that you can't do. It was already fixed. It's already absent. It's already kavua. But the hedjo will say, well, he thought he was doing din the first time, but it turned out he wasn't. Turns out he was just, you know, blowing air. He wasn't really doing din. So there's nothing to overturn. So you say, okay, well, let him try again. Let him try again. Right? It's like the difference between a strike and a foul ball. Guy struck out. He didn't hit the ball at all. Foul ball, he hit it. It has nothing to do with the rules of baseball. It's just saying that it's like the Eino Mumcha didn't do anything. He swung and he missed. Did nothing. He swung and he missed. So you say, now he can't swing again? Like I said, it has nothing to do with the rules of baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Mumcha, he hit the ball. He made a decision. You say it wasn't a good decision? Okay, but he hit the ball. It's a decision. He's a Gavra.